Blog Talk Radio.
Journey, I get to serve as your tour guide. And I thank you for being a part of this life event. I am so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. Tonight's show is Without Apology in Honor of Black Women. That piece is written, or that collection is written by Mr. Clyde Gum. We're going to look through the determined heart of a black man who says he grew to acknowledge the wonders of black women by fathering his two daughters. And his oldest daughter, Alexis Pauline Gums, will join her dad as we discuss the gems of this literary piece. Mr. Gum's writing clearly defines he is a man who openly displays his authentic compassion for black women. Women and men alike will be tremendously blessed by the works of Mr. Clyde Gum. So our topic today is Without Apology in Honor of Black Women. You are in for a treat tonight. We are blessed to have both the writer, creator of this written masterpiece. We also have one of the daughters who Mr. Gum said helped him to get this appreciation of the life, joys, and struggles of black women. So you're tuned in. You're on the right spot. You're here at Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And we are going to get started with our guests. They have so much to share, and this work is something that will really just intrigue you as a listener, as part of humanity. So I welcome with wide open arms Mr. Clyde Gums and his daughter, Miss Alexis Pauline Gums, to Life, Love, and Wellness. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Yes, we are.
Thank you so much for being a part of this show. I'm just so excited. I can just barely contain myself. You guys, this work is just so powerful.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us.
Oh, yes. It is my pleasure. So, Mr. Gums, I in sharing you being on the show tonight, I found it very interesting in your introduction to your book that you spoke about being a person, a black man, that had not ever really thought about the ideas of what it must be like to be a black woman. You never thought to ask your mother or any other woman, is the way I understand that. And I think that is so true for so many people. Can you share with us the process that you went through in order to put your works together?
Well, I think I was blessed to have two daughters, and fortunately, one of the daughters was Alexis. And Alexis studied, she's a scholar who focused on black feminism. And I really didn't know much about black feminism, so I felt I had to study to understand what is this body of scholarship that Alexis is so passionate about. And as I read her dissertation and I read the things that she recommended and I went to events that she participated in, you know, I drew a far greater understanding of what it was that black women were dealing with in the world and society that we live in. Because there's a tendency as men to think that what we think is all that matters. But I think that having two daughters and feeling that a world that embraces them is critical, you know, I took a different look at things. And as you mentioned, you know, I looked back and I said, wow, you know, I've talked to my mother so many times, and I've always had a consciousness of, you know, race and sexism, but I really never focused with her on, you know, what it was like for her to be a black woman growing up in the United States, like what that really was like. And, you know, after I studied the things that Alexis had offered me, I started writing poems. And one of the things that I would do is I would write the poem in the voice of the person that the poem was written for. So, for example, the first poem in the collection is a poem written in my mother's voice. And it's intended to be a poem that represents what the conversation would have been if I had had it with my mother about what her experience of being a black woman growing up and living in the United States was at the time that she did. So that's how the collection leads off, and it goes through a series of poems, but they're all written in the voice of a woman that I know, and some very close. So, for example, family members like my mother or my sisters or my daughters, our cousins, and the idea that I would write it in their voice would mean that I had to surrender my point of view to be able to adopt theirs as an act of love. And each poem is a love poem from that perspective. And I think it's so important that we, as black people, and specifically as black men, realize that our point of view is not the only point of view, and to consider that there are other points of view, and particularly the points of view of our black women, is critical in terms of being able to have a world where everyone is embraced for who they are, and everyone is honored. So I hope that gives you some sense of what my motivation was, Sandy.
It is. It has. Thank you so much. Alexis, would you like to add anything here?
Sure. Well, I just think that I agree with everything that both of you are saying, for sure. And I think it's such a blessing. I mean, I think that this book is an example, and the poetry that Daddy's been able to write, which includes this book, but then there's poems beyond that, and there's poems that he's written to honor other people. It's kind of a constant practice, and I think it's such a great example, because when we do open ourselves up to love other people, to honor them as who they are, there's so much that's available. There's so many insights that are available. There's also just so much joy and appreciation and gratitude that's available, and I really appreciate Daddy being the type of person that isn't trying to necessarily fit people into, you know, whatever he could understand or whatever he wishes people would be like, but is really interested. And I don't know that many people whose families really read their dissertations, you know, and it meant a lot to me to be writing a dissertation about the queer survival of Black feminism, and my dissertation was much too long. It was like 500 pages, and Daddy would post on Facebook what page he was on, right? So he would be like, okay, I'm on page 323, you know, I'm on this page or I'm on that page, as he was working through it, and then he just started to read it again because, you know, he really wanted to understand it so that he would be on, okay, well, I'm on page 200 of the second reading, you know, and I think that that's such a great example of the fact that when we engage in not just our own interests, but also the interest of the people around us, the work of the people around us, especially those people who have for some reason been destined to be in our lives and in our families, there's just so much that we can get out of it, and sometimes it's what we never knew. You know, it can cause our lives to take a different turn that we never knew it would take. And so that's something that is really exciting to me because it makes me think about, okay, well, what are the things that I'm going to get to learn from the people in my life who are different from me that I would never have come across on my own? And it just makes me feel really grateful that we have each other as community, as families on the planet. We have the opportunity to have an encounter with another person, and so much is possible. It's beyond what we could ever predict.
What was your intention when you initially started? Was it just after reading your daughter's dissertation, after reading Alexa's dissertation, was it did it coincide with her work, and did her work spark that in you?
Well, I read more than her dissertation. I read other things she had written. I went to events where she was speaking. I read a whole series of articles that she had written that were published. And I also met many of her friends. And, you know, there's so many communities in which we exist, but we tend to get trapped in a limited community, and we act as if the people that we talk to every day may be the only people that there are to talk to, but there's so many other people that we can learn from, different perspectives on what it is to exist on this planet and what it is, you know, to be here. And I met many people through Alexis, and I wrote even some poems for them. So, for example, there's a friend of hers who is a well-known Black feminist, and I wrote a poem for her that represents my understanding of Black feminism, and which I give to this friend's voice. And it's such a beautiful thing to be able to just stop, take a picture, pick up a picture of a person, look at them, and just imagine what it is that they would say, what it is that they would think, what it is that they believe, what it is that they've been through. And without regard to anything about you, just seek to capture that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did that with people that I knew very well, for example, my mother, my sister, my cousins, but some people that were friends that I knew well, and some people that were more casual associates. But in each case, the intention was to surrender my experience of life so I could get theirs. The thought being that if I could really understand what it is that this other person was experiencing, that I could then truly love people in a way that was going to make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because me just sitting around casting my experience back at myself makes no difference. But me listening to you and understanding you to the level that I can speak in your voice. Now, that's really, I really have to do something to do that. And as you said before, it's a very humbling experience, but it's a very beautiful experience as well. It's a very empowering experience because I can speak in a fashion that edifies that person in ways that they never get edified. And one thing that's pretty clear to me is that in the society that, you know, we live in, it's not set up to honor black women. I mean, how often do you see things to honor black women? How often do you hear people speaking in a fashion that honors black women? We don't see it. We don't hear it.
Not often.
And my thought is it doesn't have to be that way, because I think that in a world that truly honored black women would be a world of love. And that without a world of love, how can we get beyond, you know, being trapped into worlds where our worth is determined in, you know, just ways of capitalism that don't serve us.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to have a world that honors black women. And my thought is, in order to be able to do that, I had to be able to surrender my experience of life to really get any sense of what it took on the, what it has taken on the part of black women to survive a world that was not designed for them to survive. And through the way in which the society was set up, you can call it slavery, but even past slavery, as we come to more current times, the ways in which things were organized and done in ways that really were a disservice to our whole community, and us actually doing awful things to ourselves, and clearly awful things to our sisters, could never serve our community. So to be able to come to grips with any of that, as a black man, you would have to surrender your experience of life. You would have to surrender your judgments about life. You would have to surrender your point of view to be able to have any clarity as to what it was to honor in our sisters as magnificent survivors, because they've had a lot to survive.
Yeah.
And you can't tell that when you're looking through our eyes. But you certainly can tell it if you had a chance to look through their eyes. And that's what I sought to do. And I was blessed to have a daughter that's a great black feminist scholar who's committed her life to honoring that experience of our sisters in ways that should allow our whole community and the whole world to fulfill its promise and potential. Because that's really what we're here for, to fulfill a destiny that we haven't been able to see because we're not looking through the right eyes to see it.
Thank you, Clyde. So, Alexis, you're very sturdy on your own two feet. So how did your father's influence make an impact on the contributions that you make to humanity? Was it his influence in your upbringing that created that free spirit in you that would allow you to have the freedom to do what it is that you do in the world?
Sandy, I think you've got it backwards. It's her being the free spirit that allowed me to open my eyes and learn. I mean, she was a poet. She was a poet long before I was. She was, you know, she was a free spirit long before I was. So I've learned from her. But Alexis, I think you really should though speak to what you've been able to teach me over the years, and how that experience has benefited you in just being able to be yourself and do your thing in ways that might not have been as likely otherwise.
Yeah.
Let me just
salute
you.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on 1 second, Alexis. Let me salute you, Clyde, because, you know, a lot of parents, not just a black man, but a lot of parents would never give that much credit to their children for what they've learned in life, because we are indoctrinated and conditioned to think that it always has to be the other way from the parent to the child. So thank you for making me for correcting me and making that plain as to where the inspiration came from. So I appreciate that. Go ahead.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think, of course, it's all reciprocal, right? And I think it certainly goes both ways. And I do want to honor, I mean, I love even the structure of this show, you know, and to start from honoring our ancestors, to me, feels exactly right. You know, and for that energy to be the space that we have this conversation in makes all of the difference. And I think that I want to honor all of my ancestors, but I also want to honor both of my parents for really taking an approach to raising us, my siblings and I, in a way that does have a certain form of openness and attentiveness. That's not about trying to be like, okay, what can my black child do so they can be safe from the harms of the world? You know, I think that there can be a very scarcity and fear-based way that people parent that is really understandable given the conditions under which black people are parenting black children and have been, you know, for many years and are today, given what we face as a community. But I think that there's even this word surrender, you know, that we've been picking up and using. I think there also is something that is beautiful in honoring the spirits of the people that we are confronted with. And I know, you know, from a young age, I was a child, I knew the types of foods that I wanted to eat. I just knew what I was interested in, you know, from a very young age. And I recently came across a book in my mother's basement about the strong-willed child or the dreamer, right? And so I think that my parents both really took the opportunity to say, okay, well, how do we honor these particular spirits that came through us? And to know that we each have our own destiny. And so it's not really about trying to confine and really restrictively shape us into something that could be acceptable to the world. I feel like they really have more wanted to almost open space and create space and provide an example of affirmation and nurturing to say, well, what if who you are is supposed to transform the world? You know, what does it look like for you to be who you are? And how can we continue to give you opportunities and support you to make opportunities for yourself where you can be who you are, where you can explore who you are? And I think that that's huge. There's I'm co-editor of a different book called Revolutionary Mothering, and there's a mother who writes in that anthology. Her name is Autumn Brown, and she talks about the difference between a scarcity model of parenting and an abundance model of parenting. And Autumn says that an abundance model of parenting, I think, which is very much in alignment with this premise of this show, says that there is more than enough love. And, like, who we are is just an invitation for love. And there are all sorts of opportunities and strategies and forms of creativity and being that we can be aware of from an abundance perspective, that in a scarcity perspective, we just can't. Like, we just can't afford to see all the beauty and the brilliance and the possibility if we're completely consumed with trying to prevent our deepest fears from happening to our children or to ourselves or to our communities in general. And so I think I want to definitely honor Daddy. I want to honor my mother also, who I'm pretty sure is listening, for that, for taking on their role as parents as not to try to, destroy whatever is in us that might be scary to the world, but actually to give us the confidence, to give us the space to really explore that. And so, yes, I think that both things are certainly true. I feel really proud to have fired Daddy to write poems. I was writing poems from a very young age, and also my father's father, my paternal grandfather, Jeremiah Gums, was a person who loved poetry and would memorize all of the poems that he loved and just recite them over and over again. So I think there's also an ancestral legacy that we both are participating in by continuing to work with poetry. But I do think it's huge. And, you know, my partner, Julia, really says, you know, that my dad and my mom my mom actually does really teach people parenting and teach parenting class, but that both of them could be really great in terms of this model of parenting that really is about, in some ways, kind of stepping out of the way and letting your child be who they are and seeing how do you support that and what do you have to learn to support that and what do you have to, what ways do you have to be brave in order to affirm these children that, of course, you know, my grandfather, one of his favorite passages to recite was from Khalil Gibran's The Prophet, and he would say, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life longing for itself. They come through you but not from you, right? And just so really, really honoring the sacred role of a parent to steward some energy and bring it through and to do that, but never to be too afraid to acknowledge the ways that, yeah, your children are different people from you. You know, so there are aspects of them that are going to be, you couldn't have predicted it. No matter how creative your dreams for who your children would be are, who they actually are is just its own mystery unfolding. And I really appreciate the approach that they each took. And I think that's a blessing that allows us to move both ways. I can be an inspiration to my father because he has also allowed me to shine my light, you know? So.
Right.
There's so much love between you and so much support and encouragement. I can just feel it. We're going to take a short break. I have a special piece I want to play that in listening to you and your dad, it just kind of put me in the mind. This is my nephew actually that's singing this, Anthony A.K. King. But it's him and his daughter and the dance that they do in life. And, again, it's symbolic of what you and your dad are doing.
All of heaven loves me. You're an angel in the flesh, baby. I will give you all of me. My heart and soul. I
want you to
give. I remember the very
Yeah.
So that music was from the latest CD, In Time, by Anthony A.K. King. And that was Anthony and his daughter, Crystal, father and daughter duo. And again, it just kind of puts you in the mind of the same dance that Clyde and Alexis are doing in life, loving and supporting and encouraging one another. So welcome back. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I thank you for showing up tonight and being a part of this life event. I am so excited you decided to join us. Our topic tonight is Without Apology, in honor of Black women. So we have had a lively discussion with the writer, author, Mr. Clyde Gumbs, and his daughter, Miss Alexis Pauline Gumbs. They have certainly all think on how we are interacting in the world with others. Do we truly listen to what people are saying to us, or are we already at the end and have what we're going to say in response? Do we allow others the freedom and the flexibility to be who they are, and we support them in that process? So in the writings that Mr. Gumbs have done, he has so eloquently stepped into the hearts of Black women and have written poems that demonstrate that he understands the things that we have gone through or thinking and that affect us on a day-to-day basis. So, again, I welcome back Clyde Gumbs and his daughter, Alexis Pauline Gumbs, to the show. And would you like to share any of your poems with the audience, Clyde, or there's so many questions I could ask you.
Well, is there a particular one you'd like me to do?
I have several favorites, but I'll tell you which ones really got my attention, and then you can do whichever one you would like. Recall
okay.
the love within my eyes. And hold on 1 second. I speak for those who've had no voice. And I am beholding to no one. I am it, and it is me. Those were my absolute favorites.
Okay.
Oh, and
well,
I am
the
gift life offers me.
Wow, you sure know how to pick favorites. You sure know how to pick favorites, because you've actually picked some of my favorites as well. Well, let's see which. Alexis, which one do you think I should start with?
I love the first one, Recall the Love Within My Eyes, is the first one that you mentioned, Sandy, because that's actually one of the ones that's written for someone who is an ancestor now. A former partner of mine, her name is Jarena, who passed away at a relatively young age. And so I really love that was the first one that came to mind, so maybe that should be the one that you share, Daddy.
Okay. Recall the love within my eyes. I accept my consecrated journey. I have been and I shall be. My spirit shall remain eternal. All that's divine is one with me. I leave you with the light of love as you move onward from your sight. As I move onward from your sight, you have not lost me in the darkness. I flood your consciousness with light. I have been beckoned by the ancestors. They know my work is done with you. You need not grieve for what is lost. Just finish what we have begun. I was a daunting demonstration of that which can be overcome, transcended trials and tribulations when it seemed for sure I would succumb. I have no more I need to offer. All that I was, I leave with you. There was nothing more for me to be. There was nothing more for me to do. I was a loving, mighty warrior. I did what I was born to do. I joined you in the fearsome struggle, but I leave the victory for you. I was an unintended sort of leader. I showed you that which you can be. I leave you stronger and emboldened. I leave you to your destiny. I take pride in what you meant to me and your sweet offerings on my way. With you I knew the joy of living. With you I faced each darkened day. Embrace the gift of cherished moments inside your tears each time you cry. Mortality cannot defeat me. I am the love that cannot die. I will linger in your memories, your thoughts of me left to arise. And if you ask me for my choice, recall the love within my eyes.
Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see. Would you like to do another one? Or do you want to talk about this one? Okay, let's do another one. Okay, Alexis, what's next?
Oh, wow. I'm thinking through Sandy's favorites.
What about I Am Beholden to No One?
That sounds great.
Okay, let's do that one. Now, this particular poem was written for Alexis's partner. Well, so was the one before, but written for another partner. But this is written for Alexis's partner, Julia, who is just a magnificent voice of authenticity, which had me write the poem. I am beholden to no one. They tell me life is what you make it in this land of opportunity. Who believes I am that stupid to think that that could be true for me? Who made this world this way? And what's more, I ask you why. Who tells you there is fairness, and then justice they deny? Who kills even little children with no remorse at all? Who gladly commits genocide and calls themselves exceptional? Who invents fiction as history and then uses it in school? Who hopes I will believe it when it casts me as a hopeless fool? Who warehouses folks in prisons, sometimes called by other names, all designed to make you worthless, another of their many games? Who seeks to make you hate yourself and then demeans you when you fall? Who feeds you deadly poison and then profits from it all? Who asks you to fight their battles, even those you'd never choose? Who needs to have an ally where when they win, you always lose? I can see the hopeless nature of the world you've offered me. I decline your invitation to deny my mere humanity. I do not seek a place within this world. No matter what the lie I'm told, what I represent cannot be reconciled. I cannot be brought into the fold. I do not choose to a life where I must die to keep this world alive. I do not choose to be destroyed, so the heartless then can thrive. I do not need to seek an ally to behold or validate my worth, my humanity assured before the moment of my birth. I do not seek to make a better world from what is here for me to see. I say we need to blow it up so all who look like me are free. I will only choose to be alive in a world where I am free, a world where I can live at peace, as all I'm born to be. I will only choose to live my life with human dignity. What is the point of living without regard for decency? I will only choose to be a source of love and harmony, where all of life is sacred and every butterfly flies free. I will only choose to die a death when my time on earth is done. I am beholden to no system. I am beholden to no one.
Thank you so much, Clyde.
Oh, that's another one. You are very welcome. So let's see. You also liked, I think it was two others. Were there two others?
There was actually more, but yes.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, Dad,
well,
you're going to read the whole book.
Well, Dad, we're not going to go through the whole book. If you'd like another, I'll do another. How's that?
That is great, and let it be your choice.
Okay, this one's going to be my choice? Okay.
Yes.
This one's going to be my choice. Wow. My choice. Let me look through here rapidly. I think for my choice, I will pick the one. Oh, but this isn't the one you picked. But it's my choice. Okay. Okay, let me see. The one that I wrote for my mother.
Oh, yes.
I think that's my favorite. Because that's the one I never had the conversation with her while she was alive, but I got to have the conversation with her when I wrote the poem. So that conversation is complete. Okay. Let me see here. The poem is called "The Rest Is Up to You." My child, I was not born in peace, in a world that welcomed me. The journey I was offered led far beyond where eyes could see. How could anyone believe that this was the place for me, who would choose a world of horrors to fulfill their destiny? A world where human decency was merely offered to the few. A world where exploitation was all some people ever knew. A world of lives dismembered for little more than wanton greed. A world where children hungered despite so much more than all could need. A world with those considered privileged to dictate who I must and could not be. A world with those who would deny me of any form of dignity. A world to tell me I'm unworthy, that I could never be enough. A world that pretended to be polished and then said that I was rough. A world to tell me there was brilliance, but that it never could be mine. A world to say that I was stupid, the genius I divine. A world to tell me there was beauty, but that it could not look like me. A world to say I was immoral, that wickedness pervaded me. A world that saw my self-esteem as something that it must forbid. A world that would disparage me, no matter what I had or did. A world where I would suffer, where I would be told to crawl. A world where I'd be knocked down and struggle to rise after each fall. This world seemed overwhelming, far greater than the awesome sea. But as a child of destiny, it could be no match for me. I was born inside the dreams of those who suffered evermore. Because I chose to live my life, the world was changed forevermore. I was never certain of the challenge the next moment would choose to bring. But despite the world's adversity, I was born to do my thing. I had compassion for what it was to live in the shackles offered me. But despite the daunting odds, I had the power to break free. I knew the crippling doubts and fears that have stopped more than a few, but I would never be discouraged when there was work for me to do. I could not be dissuaded, no matter what they'd say or do, not here to please those so misguided they would seem to block my way. I needed divine faith to be a mother of lives the world said did not matter. I bathe you in eternal love, then watch the demons scatter. but now my work is over. I did all I'll ever need to do. I gave you all there was to give. The rest is up to you. And that's the poem I wrote for my mother.
Oh, absolutely perfect. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So that conversation is complete, as I said before.
And that's what
you
I
know,
was saying earlier. I could see her saying that to you. You know,
yes.
Not knowing her, just knowing the woman's heart from that generation. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's one of the beautiful things, that when you actually take the time to look at life from the perspective of black women, you will see that there is a commonality of the experience, because there is a commonality of what was used to oppress us. And there's a commonality of what we had to use to survive the oppression. And there's also a commonality of our greatness that exists in our women that so few people know of, because we don't take the time to listen, and we certainly don't take the time to honor it. So I think we can do something about that. And that's what Alexis and I have been working on very diligently as we bring this project called Without Apology in Honor of Black Women, you know, to the world.
Yeah, you know, there's many women that are almost put into a state of shock when a person truly listens to what they have to say. Because we function in a world where our thoughts and our views are not valued by most of the people that we communicate with, unless it's each other. We do a decent job, I believe, in having that camaraderie with one another to offer that. But, and so for someone outside of the sisterhood to listen, and especially a black man, it startles us sometimes. And so, again, I thank you for the other sisters and for myself for having that compassionate heart, to having that dedication and determination to be able to put into words what you believe the black woman to feel and would have said had they had a listening audience. That is very, very meaningful and very much needed in this world today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to ask or anything?
Well, what's next for you? What are you and Alexis up to? How are you preparing to take this information more into mainstream so that it gets out to more people?
Alexis, you want to speak to that?
Yes. Well, thank you for asking, Sandy. So folks can definitely go to the website withoutapologybook.tumblr.com right now and kind of see. They're excited to find out more. If they want to stay in touch, they can email us at withoutapologybook@gmail.com. We're really excited to share this with everyone. The poems themselves, as you've experienced from listening to them and Sandy from reading them, are so uplifting and they're so inspiring and, as the brother said, healing. And as a model, I think that it's also inspiring. You know, I think that what would be a blessing and what would honor, you know, my grandmother, who that poem was for, was born in 1917, so almost 100 years ago, right? That would honor
right.
That legacy would be if we could really inspire people to take a posture of surrender and affirmation towards each other, you know, and produce works of art filled with love. And that could be poetry, And it could really be any other art form. So we're excited about that. We're designing workshops to share with people so they can create their own poems and be transformed by love in practice. And we just really appreciate having the space to be able to talk about that and share about that at least a little bit here on your show.
Well, in what you just said, I heard another poem, and it's one of your favorites as well. So
okay.
It's called I Speak for Those Who've Had No Voice.
Oh, yes. Oh.
So let me do this one for you.
Thank you.
As I ponder what it is to live in a world that was not made for me, if I was not born of privilege, what is it that you offer me? You offer me gross degradation and so many forms of bigotry, a home at the intersection of racism and misogyny. You cast me as unappealing. You cast me as incomplete. You cast me as ignorant and angry. You cast me as loud and indiscreet. You tell me I'm a sinful wretch, salacious and lascivious. You tell me I am wicked. You tell me I'm worthless. You tell me I should breed those you'll exploit, destroy, and scorn, abusing their bodies, minds, and spirits before they even can be born. You dishonor my brave ancestors. You dishonor all my history. You dishonor all my treasured talents. You dishonor all there is of me. You may wonder how it's possible that I am here and still alive. As my dear sister Audrey told me, you never thought I could survive. I will not be silenced by your hate. I will not be silenced by your game. I will not be silenced by my fears. I will not be silenced by my shame. I am not here to reproduce past ways, denying rainbows I dream of. I was born to be that which I am, and to choose what and whom to love. I was not born to serve your story or to embrace your point of view. I was born with all the power to be myself and transform you. I stand on the shoulders of those heroes whose dreams shall be fulfilled in me. I champion every sun-kissed daughter, alive and all those yet to be. I am the dignity of decency arising from the cosmic soul, the fundamental sense of justice that calls all people to be whole. I am the integrity of destiny lived with purpose, power, peace, fueled by boundless inspiration and passion that will never cease. I am the truth of fierce resolve. I am unstoppable and bold. As long as I'm alive, be sure our story will be told. I speak for those who've had no chance. I speak for those who've had no choice. I speak for those who've had no hope. I speak for those who've had no voice. Well, there it is, Sandy.
Thank you. That is so touching.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. We have a caller.
Great.
Phone number 404-545. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or question or concern.
Well, hi, Miss Sandy. This is Marlo from Smyrna, Georgia. How are you?
Hey, Miss Marlo. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I could not resist calling in to say hello to these two beautiful, powerful souls on this phone. Hi, Alexis. Hi, Clyde.
Hi,
hey, Marlo.
Thank you for connecting us with Sandy.
Hey, listen. I know the power that you two generate, so it was my duty, okay? Alexis, you know, you are an amazing, intelligent, brilliant, and beautiful sister. And Clyde, body of work, When I tell you I was rocking in my chair as I was reading it, I am not kidding you. It's amazing. It's inspiring. It's moving. And I just needed to let you know.
Well, thank you, Marlo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've always been a favorite of mine. All those years and years and years we've known each other. It's good that we're getting back in touch now because, you know, there was a time I used to see you all the time when we would, you know, be doing courses and programs together. And then, you know, more recently we haven't been in touch as much. But you've always been a favorite of mine. Such a brilliant, sweet spirit. So
I appreciate
thank you.
That. Absolutely. I have learned so much from you, and just to prove that, even to this day, when someone asks me a question and a million answers run through my mind, I hear your voice saying, Marlo, your life would be a whole lot easier if you just answer the question that you've been asked. So your voice still rings in my head. Thank you very much for that sage advice.
And you're very welcome, Marla.
And Sandy, thank you so much for having Clyde and Alexis on this evening. It's been wonderful. So thank you for having this platform so they could share all that they're doing in the world.
Thank you, Marlo. It's been my treat, and I owe you. It has been absolutely wonderful. So thank you for making the introduction between us. I appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening.
Always. Well, Clyde or Alexis, you have any closing thoughts? Clyde, there was a point where you said that you wanted to discuss, or did I want you to discuss the thought behind the poems that you have written? Was it something you want to share on that, or?
You mean the particular poems I had written? Well, I've written a lot of poems of all different types for different people. One of the types of poems I like to read is to pick up a picture of a person and then seek to imagine what's going on in their mind and then write a poem in their voice. And I was doing that before this collection. But what I saw was that there were poems I had written for Black women that sort, you know, that so resonated. And I wrote a few more, and I had this collection that did something that I hadn't really seen being done, which was honoring Black women and honoring them by surrendering my voice, my experience, and my thoughts to theirs, so that I could, you know, have a more meaningful experience of who they were and what life had been for them and what life could be for all of us if we, you know, took the time to humble ourselves and edify our sisters. So that's where we started from. And Alexis chose to assist me in, you know, putting this together and bringing it to the world. And I'm so thankful that she was willing to do that, because it wouldn't have been possible without her. And now it's not just possible, but it's going to be available to everyone. And I look forward to seeing how people react to it. You know, I have some expectations as to how some might respond to it, but you never know. So I think it will be fun seeing the difference it makes, or the difference people allow it to make in their lives, and see who they share it with, and see how far we can go with this idea of, you know, surrendering your point of view to honor the point of view of another person. You know, be it in our relationships, be it in our families, be it in our communities, be it in our society overall. You know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everybody was allowing themselves to do that and granting someone else the privilege of really being known and heard as who they truly are, not as some, you know, something that we create in our eyes. So I think that's about it for me for now.
Yeah,
anything for you, Alexis?
Yeah, that's, I think that's perfect. I think that's beautiful. I just want to reflect all of that gratitude. And I think that this conversation, Sandy, your show as a whole, certainly being able to be immersed in the poems of Without Apology, just really gives me so much gratitude for who we are and who we can be as community. And it's faith building for sure. So, yes. Yeah, thank you for allowing that to resound. And I too, am very excited for what will be reflected back from all this love.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you. So will the poems be, are they in the process of being published and be available on your website? Or I know you
said
you're thinking about doing, okay.
Yes, so
awesome.
they will be available soon. We can't give the exact calendar date yet, but they will be available soon. And so folks can start checking it out at withoutapologybook.tumblr.com. Within a couple of days, it'll just be withoutapologybook.com. And again, you can email us at withoutapologybook@gmail.com if you want to be just added to the list to be notified about when it's out. I think that it will be great for you to be able to hold it in your hand and share it with your friends and gift it to your loved ones.
Because it takes on a whole life of itself when you hold it. You know, when you have the energy in your hand, you're like, oh, no.
Yes.
Ooh, this has been monumental. Just so wonderful. Appreciate you. And I just wanted to just make it plain for people that may not be familiar. So it's Without Apology Book. And it's Tumblr, TUMBLR.com. So in case you weren't sure how to spell that, I just wanted to make sure that I gave that spelling. And so any closing thoughts, Clyde?
Well, I really want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to spend this time with you and the listeners. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that because you know, the degree to which we can share what we're doing and even why we're doing it, it makes a difference because there's a lot of time that people put into mastering their art, and being able to share it is what makes it so incredibly valuable to so many people in healing the world. So, you know, I'm thankful that my self-expression can contribute to the healing of any person, much less the world. But I think that we all can make a difference. And we just have to be willing to surrender to the opportunity to be, you know, just to honor people in how we relate to them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just the bottom line is that, you know, if we can love everyone, not because of what they can do for us, but just because of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can honor them based on who they are, you know, just based on who they are and allow them to be that, it's a wonderful gift to not just that person, but to each one of us in the world. And that's where the transformation that we all desire will come from. And it's a transformation not just for black women that it seems like we happen to be honoring now, which and we are, but for black men, black children, black communities, but also all people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just to have a starting point like this is just so wonderful because we know it makes a difference.
Yes.
You know, it's just wonderful having been taught it all by Alexis. So, you know,
what teacher,
so,
Alexis?
So I mean, I'm happy to take credit for it, Sandy, but, you know, I'm just a student, and sounds like my work is at least getting graded well tonight, Alexis, so.
A plus.
Good job,
A plus,
teacher.
For sure.
Good job, teacher. Because, as I said before, Sandy, she was writing long before me, and she was speaking to groups long before me, and she was doing it all long before me, and all I'm doing is taking what she taught me and putting it in words I could understand, that sounded like the voices of black women. At some point, Sandy, I think you would love to look at some of Alexis's work, like some of her articles and her poetry, because in her field of endeavor, she's rapidly becoming a remarkable icon. So I'm very proud of that which she's accomplished, because her body of work far exceeds any I could ever imagine to develop.
That is so wonderful. What say you, Alexis?
Oh, just infinite gratitude. As I said, I give an A++++. We never know who we're teaching and how we're teaching, right? And I think it's true. We can teach our own parents, even as we learn from them. So I'm really grateful for this space, for this being a obviously family-generated space of learning and sharing that you've created. And may we continue to teach each other love and learn love and give love and receive love.
Well, thank you. And we truly, 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 truly appreciate you taking the time, both of you taking time from your busy schedules of being who you are in the universe to share with us tonight. It has just been tremendous, beyond words. It's been a very spiritual communication that has been occurring tonight. And I know you've touched souls and hearts and spirits by sharing so deeply of who you are from a very authentic stand. And so, again, my appreciation to both of you. And, again, this has just been one incredible, incredible night of love, of sharing, of family, of speaking and honoring black women, both those that are ancestors and those that are still living, of getting to know the heart and the mind and the spirit of both Clyde and his daughter, who he says is the mastermind behind his genius. And so we pay tribute to Alexis. So thank you, thank you, thank you, audience, for joining us tonight on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. This is a place where we talk candidly about positive experiences, personal development, self-discovery, and holistic wellness. This is your host, Sandy Rogers. I'll see you next week. And may you forever live in divine wellness. peace be on to you.
Bye.